Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. It's good to worship together. Good to see your faces. I just feel so blessed to be here, to be able to worship with you guys in person. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your house. Thank you that we can come together and worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we are so frail, we're so broken, but here together in your presence, we are made whole. Thank you for this day. Everybody watching online, to everybody here, I pray that we will sense your presence and your love for us today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We're in the book of Ezra, as you guys know. I'm going to read from chapter 3 real quick, just to get us situated in the text, okay? Ezra chapter 3, verse 4. Then in accordance with what is written, they celebrated the festival of tabernacles with the required number of burnt offerings prescribed for each day. Everyone say each day. After that, they presented the regular burnt offerings. Everyone say regular. So each day, regular. The new moon sacrifices and the sacrifice for all the appointed sacred festivals. Everyone say all. Yeah, there's not some, all the appointed sacred festivals of the Lord, as well as those brought as free will offerings to the Lord. On the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, though the foundation of the Lord's temple had not yet been laid. This is the word of the Lord. So most of you have been journeying with us through the book of Ezra. How many of you guys know this odd, peculiar book has been blessing us? Amen. God uses his whole entire text and witness to form us. And so we talked about how Israel was released from exile and they're returning, and they get this great honor of rebuilding God's house. And so we talked about many things, how God wants us to rebuild God's house as we return from the pandemic. And some of the things we delved into is, first of all, what is the house of God for? And then we went into what is the architecture, right? What is it designed to do inside? And then we talked about what is worship? What is what are the first things we're supposed to rebuild? So we talked about time and the calendar. We talked about so many things. But today, we're going to go a little bit deeper now into what worship is set up to do for us, okay? So I read you, and indulge me with this, the problem of the day. As our faith began or became more and more disembodied and immaterial, we began to see worship as a place to experience spiritual highs, spiritual teachings, and spiritual ceremonies, all of which are often provided and performed by spiritual leaders. This in turn creates two unwanted and destructive forces: a passive engagement in worship, that's one destructive force, and a dualistic view of worship. Did you guys catch that? So two unwanted outcomes when we spiritualized everything and put all the responsibility on spiritual leaders and spiritual people. We now think that a typical work week contains the real, raw, and relevant aspects of life, whereas the weekend corporate worship offers only an ethereal and irrelevant space for spiritual people. We often think that Monday to Friday, or some of us Monday to Saturday, is really where the gist of life is. And then Sunday is the otherworldly moment. The problem is that this dualism inevitably makes both the worship service and the work week inconsequential to each other. In this theological framework, worship at best becomes a place for spiritual formation and at worst, a complete escape from the real world. This leaves us very unmotivated to worship God and very unaware of his presence during the week. That's why today, through this series and this sermon, we're going to examine the intersection between the work week, Monday to Friday or Saturday, and the Sunday corporate worship, so that we can see how our entire lives are called to be presented before God as a living sacrifice. Can I get an amen? That was a lot to handle. Some of you guys got lost after our faith became disembodied. But it's okay. Just say amen. So we get ready, right? Most of us, a typical Sunday, you know, we work all week. We have what I will call the meat and the substance of our lives during the week. And then we have this beautiful and yet annoying little speed bump in the week called the Sabbath. And many of us, we get ready for it, and we get up and we get our children and we slam them into the van and we get dressed, we barely do our hair and we jump into the car and we get here and our goal is just to get here. Our goal is to just to get here. And we're thinking like, as long as I get there, and as long as I participate in this liturgical spiritual practice, and as long as the spiritual person up front gives us spiritual content, and I somehow receive that spiritual content, and maybe make something out of it, and then I leave, I have done worship. I have done what I needed to do. But the Hebrew people, when they were noticing that the temple was being rebuilt and the altar was being rebuilt and the sacrifices were being reinstituted, they had another vision of their life. Something was getting reintegrated. You see, in Babylon, the Monday to Friday, or should I say Monday to Saturday, for them, it wasn't relevant. When you went to Babylon, when you existed in that timeline, your regular world had nothing to do with sacrifices and worship of gods. But when the Hebrews came back to rebuild the house of God, they saw and expected something very different when they heard words like each day, regular, each day, regular, and all. What did they imagine and what did they see? They saw, unlike Babylon, every day is now accounted for. It's not just when I appear in front of the altar that matters to God. Now the whole day that's involved in bringing something of that day to God matters to God. All of a sudden now, the week and the weekend matter to each other. The dualism is broken and it's reconciled. And now they're starting to have an integrated life where their Sabbath day and the work week are all one song or flow. It's not disjointed. And then they imagine, okay, not only is it every day is now accounted for, everything is accounted for. What do I mean by that? When they're reinstituting the altar of God, they knew it wasn't the priest's job to bring the materials. I hope you catch this. They knew now not only the work mattered, not only the week mattered, but what they brought mattered. Things mattered. Things they did, things they earned, things they produced, things that they uprooted from the earth. It matters. And they now realize every day matters and everything matters. And I cannot go before God now empty-handed. I don't just present myself. I'm here, Lord. I'm here to watch the priest sacrifice and do some killing of animals, right? Go listen. Oh, that priest kills so well. Oh, that priest, like his handiwork, the way he uses that knife on that sheep. Ooh, that was a good one. Amen. No, not only do they present themselves, they bring stuff from their world. So they're never empty-handed. What do I mean by this? If you look at every major festival, remember, was it some festivals that were reinstituted or all? All. And every one of the sacred gatherings that God reinstitutes in the book of Ezra demands something from them, from their world. They are to bring something from their world. They're to bring their lambs. They're to bring their bread. They're to bring, oh my gosh, their food. They're to bring their tents. They got so many things to bring and so many things to make. What does this mean? What does this mean? Well, what does this mean for us, PB? Right? We're talking about reinstituting worship. We're talking about rebuilding altars. We're talking about making sure that Echo post-pandemic is stronger and more vibrant and more holy than pre-pandemic. Come on, somebody. And more authentic in our expression of worship. What does this mean? This is what it means. Worship for us and worship for them meant that it was a material substance versus an immaterial one. Do we have that? The first thing that this means. We might not have that. So if you're taking notes, what does this mean? It means that there's real materials being brought to God, right? Versus just some spiritual one. And it's coming from their world. Let me say it like this. When people say, who do you imagine getting ready for a Sunday? Most of us will say, the pastor must get ready for the Sunday. And then some of us will say, the worship team gets ready for the Sunday. Do we not? And then so when we hear, like, say, on Instagram or Facebook, we see a post of Tim and the worship team, you know, practicing, and we're like, thank God for the worship team. They're getting ready for Sunday. We're like, yeah, they better get ready for Sunday. Because I don't want to hear some jankety worship songs, right? I want some powerful worship time. So they better get ready. Or what if I posted notes from my sermon during the week, like, oh, I love the word of God, and I love getting ready for the people of God, and I can't wait to feed them. You're like, yeah, brother, that's why we pay you. You don't pay me. Oh, man, oh, this is why we love you. This is why you're a pastor. You better get ready for Sunday. What if I came to you on Sunday and I was like this? I didn't prepare. Come on, somebody. What would you do? Maybe the first time you'd be like, oh, silly PB. Trying to be all spirit-led, trying to be preaching with the spirit, right? But what if another week passes and I'm like, I didn't prepare anything. And then third week, I'm here. I just showed up. Here's the deal. When they heard that the sacrifice, the altar was being rebuilt, they knew they were the providers of the content of the service. The priests were the presiders. Yes, they were the executors of the lamb. Yes, they had things to do, but the ceremony could not go on or even start without your content. You see, you're sitting here going like, oh, I wonder what he's got. The Lord's sitting here going, I wonder what you brought from your world. The content, this service means something if you've brought something from your world. And we're going to talk about that because some of you are like, I don't have a lamb. So you are the provider of the content. When someone says, hey, did you have a good service? It shouldn't just be, now I know your pastor's sermons are awesome. Okay? But it shouldn't just be, oh, PB's message was awesome or it was relevant. Whatever. Oh, the worship team was, oh, the youth service and the children. It shouldn't just be that. When you say service was awesome or great or good, it's because you brought something to God. I brought my week to the Lord. I brought my world to God. I brought everything in my life before him. I didn't just show up with my kids. I brought my world with me. Hence, reconciling the week to the weekend and no longer splitting it and making the weekend just for spiritual leaders and people to what presents spiritual entertainment to you all. You know, this is a side note, but I don't even want to do it. All right, what's the second thing? What's the second thing that's very evident about this restoration of this altar? Huh? About all the days and all the offerings and all the festivals being reinstituted. Here's what's very evident. People not only brought things from their world, they brought what they did from their world. They brought their work. You see, when God instituted or reinstated all these festivals and gatherings, he didn't say, hey, you farmers, I need you to go and do some spiritual practices and bring that aura to me. I need you to go and hang out with other spiritual people and maybe, I don't know, do some spiritual artwork and bring that to me. No. Hey, you farmer. Hey, farmer. Bring me some vegetables. Bring me the fruit of your world. Bring me your world. Right? So, today I got some props, guys. A shepherd would have looked like this. Especially, imagine if there were a new member or new congregant member, okay? This is just a modern version of the Jewish church, okay? Imagine if they're new and they're new to town. They're like, I'm new. And then, where do I go? Well, the worship service is in there, in this what is this octagon? This round building. Oh, okay, right? Now, just by the sheep in my arm, what do you know of me? I'm a shepherd. It would be weird if I'm an engineer from downtown. Like, but what are you doing with that sheep? Right? No. So he brings a sheep. Right? It's from their world. Look at that sheep. And then a farmer comes in. Man, we had such a great harvest. And all my vegetables. And somehow all my vegetables stick together. It's a beautiful harvest. And they bring the best of the best from their world, and they bring in here with such pride. They're coming in. I want you to see this. They're coming in, and their entire week is with them right here. their entire life, their entire year, their entire heartache, their entire joy, the fights they had over this one, the joy they had over this one, the unexpected one that grew. Oh man, I just love that God was with me all week. I can't wait to present my world to him. So now, okay, so hear me. So they brought the content for service, and they brought what they do to service. Before I move on to the last one, you have to understand that everything you do matters to God. Everything you do is worship to the Lord. He cares about every... Some of you guys are like, but my job is boring. He loves that boring job. And he loves how you are in that boring job giving glory to God. And we're going to talk about what you bring from there. But right now, I just want you to see that if you're a farmer, you're bringing farmer stuff. And then if you're a shepherd, you're bringing the sheep. Amen? But what else happens? What happens when you bring your sheep? Do you know why we feel like maybe church is irrelevant, or maybe we're comfortable with this dualism? You know why, like, we hit the week and we're like, Sunday was great, but it doesn't really impact the week. Here's why. First of all, you didn't bring anything from your world. And second, you never laid it before God. When you lay your world before God in worship, it is evocative. It stirs your emotions. You see, when I was growing up, people said spirituality was emotionless truth duties, right? As if we're robots. Like, just proclaim truth. You are the law, you are Trinity, you are salvation, you are everything in my life. And they would say, doesn't matter if you're emotional or not, proclaim truth to the Lord. Okay, Lord Jesus Christ, so 2,000 years ago, you came and you cried. No. If you're new, do not be disturbed by what I just did. No. How many of you guys know most of you are here because not only did you, come on, accept the truth impacted your heart. You had an emotional connection to God. Knowing he's not only real, he loves you. And what happens is when we don't bring our world, our emotions are detached, not just our bodies. Okay? So imagine, right, a shepherd all the time looking at his sheep. Can you guys see me? Okay. This one is Bobby. Right, Bobby, I love you, Bobby. Bobby, you are the purest of them all. You're the best. You have no blemishes. Our kids love you. Our kids love playing with you, Bobby. Right? It's so sad because you're the one I have to give up. You're the one that got to die. Bobby, I'm so sorry. But you see, my sins throughout this year and my mistakes, my sins of omission and commission, all the stuff that taints us and separates us from God, you have to understand that the Lord requires that something from my world that's pure and good and the best of the best be brought to him so that I emotionally understand what it takes for my sins to be forgiven. And so, Bobby, you and I got to go. And imagine if you are the shepherd and you've raised this beautiful sheep all year and you brought him. And listen, you go to the shepherd, right? I mean, you go to the priest. And listen, the priest don't have Bobby. You have Bobby. The priest just standing there like, what you got? What are we doing for service today? And the people of God bring Bobby. And then the priest. Yeah. Look at you guys. I want you to see this. want you to see Bobby getting cut up by the priest. There's a child in here. I think the child needs to be... This is blood. There's blood everywhere. Now, what's funny is, this is just a toy. Some of you guys were like, what a waste. Oh, how cute. No. When I told my kids that I was doing this, my kids were like, Daddy, no, let me keep it. As if it was alive. Don't do that to Bobby. No, Bobby gotta die today. Now tell me, if you were a shepherd and you saw Bobby taking your sins upon itself that you raised all year, and you're like, man, I'm so sorry. And then you go, God, it is here at this temple. It is here at this altar at your feet. You prescribe this. If I bring something from my world, you will show up and you and I will have a moment and I will realize yet again that the Lord forgives my sins. But it is not detached from me, emotionally or physically. Something very real is coming from my world. It's a little bit more violent than I thought, but you get the point. So what are we to bring, PB? We're not shepherds anymore. We're not farmers anymore. What do we bring? Well, we have to first think about what sacrifices actually represent, okay? So if you're taking notes, there's two things that sacrifices represent. Sacrifices point. They point to the redemptive acts and stories of God. So every time you bring something from your world, okay, and you lay it before God, this is pointing us to Him. The stories and acts of God that you need to remember and be reminded of. Every time you come in here on Sunday and you bring your world and you bring your world before God emotionally attached to you and you sing your songs before God, you should be transported to a very high definition movie of God's gracious acts for you and history. And you go, oh, God is good. But there's a second thing that sacrifices do. The second thing that sacrifices do is they point to your stories. They point to your stories. Let me say that again. They point to God, and the sacrifices also point to you, as in this represents your stories, your world, what happened in your world that has, you know, that needed this lamb to be slaughtered. You're bringing your story and your world to God. And it places your story before God. So again, your world, when you bring your sacrifices, it points to God, God's story, and then it places our story at His feet. Now, sacrifices are gone. We have one sacrifice, Jesus Christ, right, who took care of all things, and we are made clean forever in His blood. So what do we bring? What do we bring? We still bring sacrifices. They're sacrifices of praise. And we bring our world to God. And so you're like, okay, what do they mean? Well, we know one thing that all sacrifices have in common is that they're symbols that point to stories. God's stories and our stories. Let me say it like this. In Romans, it says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. So what are our sacrifices? You bring your everyday walking around life, your everyday work life, your everyday parenting life, your everyday dating life. You bring it all to God. Okay? So then you're like, okay, we're getting closer. You want things from my world, God. You want my stories. You want sacrifices that really point to stories of your redemption and also my life. So can you help me narrow it down even more? Yes. All sacrifices fall under three major categories. Okay? And if you're taking notes, this is from Nicholas Walterstorff. It's T-A-T. Trumpets, ashes, and tears. What you find in the Bible is that all worship and all sacrifices fall under three simple categories. People of God brought their trumpets, and I'm going to explain this to you. They brought their ashes, and they brought their tears to God. So every sacrifice was about stories of triumph, God's victory and mine, ashes, right? Fallenness of brokenness, stories of failure, and then finally tears, things I have no control over, lamenting, people's death, mourning. I bring those to God. Three things in your world that you bring to God every week, you can break it down to trumpets, ashes, and tears. And when we don't bring these, this is what happens. We lose an emotional attachment to God, and our worship becomes more and more, again, disembodied. So let's break this down. What are trumpets, ashes, and tears? Number one, trumpets, what we bring to God, the sacrifices we bring to God. Trumpets are stories of thanksgiving and praise. I want you to think to yourself, just let's just do this last week. What can you thank God for this last week? What did he do? Now you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know. You know what worship does? Worship makes you pay attention. The reason why you don't know is because you're not paying attention, because you're not getting ready to sacrifice something on the weekend. Come on, somebody. So pay attention to your week right now. What did God do? What did God bring? What did God prove? What did God break through for you? Those are trumpets. But here's the other side of trumpets. Are you ready? Trumpets are not just, oh, I got things to thank you for, God. Trumpets are, God, I got something to celebrate. Trumpets are celebrations from your life, from your accomplishments, your victories. Now, a lot of you guys are Asian American folks with Asian descent, and we love church being the center of guilt. Right? The center of shame and guilt. And we think the only thing we bring here is our sins and our negative feelings. But I want you to know, God wants to celebrate you. It's not just you singing to God, you're great. It's because of you, I'm great. Now, some of you guys forget the because of you, you're not great. You are arrogant. But you know, how emotions, do you know that the shepherd, you know why it's also an emotional attachment? Because he's proud of his work. He's proud of what he did. Because I have something to show you, God. All of my sheep are not diseased. I have some good ones, and I want to give it to you. What do you have to celebrate? What are your trumpets? So let me ask you these questions. Did you have a good week at work? Bring that story to God. Did you have a proud moment as a parent? How many of you guys know proud moments for parents? They're like diamonds. You don't have that many, right? Especially the more kids you have, the less diamonds you have, right? So did you have a proud moment? Hello? My wife and I often, you know, at night when we talk, we'll talk about maybe moments we're not so proud of as a parent. And we'll confess and pray for each other and whatnot. But there are days where we'll say, I did this. I withheld throwing something at him. Like, celebrate me. What are you thankful to the Lord about? What are you proud of? Let me just show you something. Now, I don't think they're here today, but do you guys know Jessica and David? Jessica and David, they had a baby named Josie. I think Josie, right? Josie? Josie. Josie. Whatever. There's a lot of babies in Echo, man. I can't remember all the babies' names. But guess what? I found out recently that Josie recently got sleep trained. That's a big deal. Imagine if Justin David came in and during the offering time, they not only brought up their tithe and offerings, but they brought up a little blankie representing Josie graduating from that stage. And they brought it to the Lord. Imagine the emotional tie to that. Thank you for my daughter. Thank you that she sleeps by herself finally. Praise the Lord for this victory. Imagine. See? Their worship would change because they brought their week to the Lord. Imagine if... I'm out of breath just picking this up. You need to pray for me. These are pencils. There's a teacher here named Uriah who I found them. There's many times, but this one time in particular, her students wrote her all these cards of appreciation saying, basically, you changed my life. You changed my life. Imagine if Uriah brought pencils or even the notes from her students to the Lord. If not physically, at least in her heart. Come on, somebody. And during praise and during offering, she carried that sheep. Come on. And when it was time for offering, when she walked up to the altar to give her tithes and offerings, she not only gave those, she gave the story. Thank you, Lord. This means so much to me. You know how hard I worked for this, and I praise you for them. I have one more. Some of you guys are like, pick me. I don't know you. Where's Christy? Worship her. Christy, she's our dentist. She just opened her own dental office. Let's give her a hand. Yeah. That's a big deal. Can you open one? I can't, right? So what if, I mean, it's her own business. She probably has employees now. She told me today she's dealing with the city and permits and stuff. There's a lot going on. Imagine the first day, first customers come in, right? And she's using her God-given talents. Come on, somebody. And she's fixing them teeth. Right? Making all things beautiful. Bringing renewal to their world. Have you ever had tooth pain? Somebody just shoot my face. It is the most painful thing. I went to ER once, Dr. Aaron, thinking that I had a brain aneurysm or something, and they told me I had a toothache. Imagine if Christy brought this, maybe with her, I think your office is called Highlight? Highlight offices or whatever, right? Boom, Highlight, boom, right here. And she brought it. She said, thank you, Lord. Imagine she led worship today. Imagine if she was up here like this today. We would be like, newcomers would be like, that's weird. And we'd be like, shut up. This is embodied worship. I'll give this to you after, okay? Like that. Isn't that cute? Right? So we bring our trumpets. Sunday shouldn't be boring. You know, your home groups, when you return to them next year, trumpets should be shared. You know, one thing that we're missing in our culture, and this is just a side note, is we don't celebrate each other anymore. We don't. And so we have to do these sad things like incognito Instagram posts, like, I got a promotion, somebody post it for me. No, you should post it. You should share it. You should be proud of what God did through you. Now, if you're doing that every week, that's a problem. Then we delete you. PB, but what if I do that next year or even here, and then people get jealous or people get... That's their problem. You know, people who love you, the house of God, and God himself loves to celebrate you. Loves to celebrate you. Try it. See if your brothers and sisters here will not celebrate you. Amen? Bring it to God. Here's another thing we bring to God. We bring our ashes. What are our ashes? Ashes are our sins, our rebellion, our regrets from the week that we bring to God, who washes our sins away, knowing that all sin is first and foremost sins against God. We're bringing our stories of our bad behavior, thoughts, and feelings from our work week, home, study, all of it to God. So what were your mistakes during the week? Where have you strayed from God's ways? Where have you yielded to devices and desires of the flesh? How have you offended God and others? What did you leave undone? Or what things could or should you have done? So ashes, when you come to church with ashes, sacrifices of ashes, you're bringing your sins to God, knowing that it's really only he that can cleanse you of all your guilt and shame. Bring it to God. Where else are you going to bring it? Right? The world don't want it. They don't know what to do with your sins. This is where you bring it. Bring that story. Put it in your mind. Write it down somewhere if you want. Make it tangible if you want. You don't have to put your name on it. Right? But bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, I confess, I bring you my ashes. This is the sacrifice of ash. Here it is, Lord. These are things I'm convicted of. These are things that I know I shouldn't have done or I left undone. Here are my sacrifices of ashes. Next thing you know, this Sunday becomes that much more relevant to you. And finally, we bring our tears. We're bringing our broken hearts and anxious thoughts from the weak to God, who cares for us and cares for those we love, knowing that he will make all things new again. So I have questions for you. Think about this last week or last month. What broke your heart? What angered you? What made you sad? What stressed you out? Or a real easy one is, what's on your heart? What's that burden? Sunday becomes way more interesting, way more embodied when we bring our week full of tears. What didn't work out? And the house of God, in the presence of God, Jesus can handle it. He can handle your lament with your celebration and your confession. He can handle it all. He's not going to be like, can you save that one for next week? Because I got so much celebration to do. No, he's like, I can handle it all. I want it all. Bring your whole world to me, your everyday life, your trumpets, ashes, and tears. Can I get an amen? Amen? Right now, you don't have to raise your hand, but right now, just think, Do I have any tears to offer God? I bet you do. I bet you do. The world says, leave your problems at home. Don't bring it here. That's a famous line, isn't it? Everyone, hey, like your boss will tell you, hey, can you leave your personal stuff out? Can you leave your problems at home? But in our Lord, we find, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Bring it here. Bring it with the house of God. Amen? So I know some of you guys are like, man, I really want to literally bring it. I think some of you should. Do you know why? I'm almost done. So do you know why we bring we place the offering basket up here and we don't pass it around? Because there's something about getting up physically and walking up to the Lord to give thanks. But there's also something powerful about not only putting in your check as a tithe and offering, or maybe your phone, you place it over the basket like my wife and I do as a symbol of us giving to the Lord. It's not just that. Some of you need to actually bring stuff, especially, and my encouragement is, your stories may be on paper. Some of you need to write to God. And my encouragement is that you write your trumpets, ashes, and tears to God, along with your tithes and offerings, whatever it is, and you come up to the Lord. And I need you to feel this one day. I need you to feel the physical, that paper leaving you and your story going in. I want you to feel that evocative feeling of something's being casted unto God. And it is in the house of God that this happens. And this is what Ezra chapter 3 was doing. Hey, you're no longer in Babylon, where you worship God in your mind, but the land doesn't let you worship God with your whole life. You no longer have a dualistic worship life. You're back in Israel, man. You're back in the house of God, and we're rebuilding the temple, and all of your life matters now. So bring all of yourself to the Lord. Your celebrations, your tears, and your ashes. Bring it all to God. You see, if Echo is to have a vibrant church post-pandemic, we cannot just sing songs given to us. We cannot just eat sermons that are prepared for us. We must bring our lives to God. And I end with this story. I want to end with the trumpet one, because I think you guys need to know how serious I am about it. Like, most of you are like, I get ashes and I get them tears. But trumpets, BB, that's a hard one. I was talking to a young mom about a year ago. This mom was looking for a job, really struggling to find a job that fit her and her family, the right pay and everything. And for about a year, she was looking for a job and just discouraged, absolutely discouraged, because nothing's opening up. And finally, she, I think, joined one of the advances or something and got a group of Echo people together, and they started praying for a job. And they prayed and prayed, nothing. They prayed and prayed, nothing. And all she can bring every Sunday were tears. Then one day, our finance team and Pastor Isaac, they find something in the basket. And they find a letter. They find a letter. And this letter, and I have permission to share this, okay? Some of you guys are like, I'm never telling PB anything because PB's going to share it on stage. I'm not. I'm going to call you and ask you for permission. Unless you leave this church and I'm going to just share it. So this person says, in the letter, she wrote to God, you know how hard it was for me. You know how embarrassed I felt. You know how humbling this season was for me. You know how desperately I sought your face. And Lord, you provided. You gave me a great job. So Lord, as an expression of thanksgiving to you, I put my entire first month's salary in here. That's what she did. She put her first paycheck in there. So it wasn't just a letter. She meant it. But what's so beautiful is she wrote to God. She wrote to God. And she knew that God would read it. That sounds kind of quirky, but it's true. God read it and he celebrated with her. Can you imagine what kind of church we will be if on Sundays we didn't just bring a check? Come on, somebody. We didn't just hit a button and send an offering to the Lord, but we took time and wrote, Lord, my father passed away this week. My world is shaken and torn apart. I don't know how to deal with my dad leaving, so I bring to you my tears. This is from my life, my world. And you brought it to God. Lord, this week I failed a friend, and I can see the heartbreak in his eyes this week. I didn't have the courage to say sorry or even bring it up. I ignored it like a good Asian does. And I just kept living my life. But right now, I feel a lot of pain and guilt. Can you forgive me and give me the courage to talk to him this week? And now it got real, right? Now Monday to Friday got real. We brought it here. Father God, I want to kill my manager. He is stupid. But when I look at him with your eyes, he is less stupid. And I feel a little bit of compassion because he stays late every night because he has 10 kids. This week, can you help me be a light in his world? Every week, I dismiss him and I ignore him. But this week, in this job that you gave me, give me the strength to bless him. Your favorite son, Brian. Let's pray. Pretty soon we're going to go into the festivals, and we're going to talk about tangible ways that we worship the Lord. But today, I wanted to set up a nice framework for you that if you forget anything, just remember the trumpets, ashes, and tears. If you forget anything in this series, just remember I get to bring my world to God. For he cares for me, and he hears my prayer. So right now, let's practice that real quick before I close. Think of something from your week. Think of a trumpet, something that you want to celebrate for you or for God. God answered your prayer. That's a trumpet, man. The world should know about it, and we should celebrate together. Any ashes in your life? Go ahead and share it to God right now. Any tears? Share it with him right now. God of our salvation, you are all that we need. And in your presence, we get to bring our whole life before you. Lord, we are leaving Babylon and its dualistic ways. Teach us to bring our world to you. Everything matters. Everything's meaningful. You care about our work, our parenting, our studies, our dating life to our single life. You care about it all. Lord, we want to bring it to you as sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. Be with us as we move beyond a Gnostic vision of church and we enter a holy kingdom of God on earth kind of movement. We love you, Lord. And I bless this church in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May Christ be victorious in your lives. Amen. Amen.